Go ahead and turn to Psalm 11.
Do you ever have a verse that you read and it kind of struck you, but you weren't sure if you're really understanding it in complete context or sure what it meant, but it made you think? This is one of those. As I read Psalm 11, the first few verses, consider some things. I'm not 100% sure about the context, but this is kind of where I started, so I wanted to start here. Psalm 11 and verse 1, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And that verse 3 kind of struck me. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I didn't even look this up. I just thought, what are the foundations? That there could be the foundations of society. We see that. Some of the foundations of society are crumbling, and it seems like everything's just falling apart. But I thought, what about the foundation of my faith? What are the foundations? We know that in the Scriptures, as we'll look here in a second, the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. But what is the what are the foundations of my faith? What are the foundations of the church? What are the things that matter most? If these things go away, so if we could turn to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit." It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Foundation, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. As I thought about that, I thought, the foundation of our faith is God's love for us. Because Jesus Christ came as a manifestation of God's love for us. Of God's love. The foundation is love. We can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. Says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." It says, when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. But it bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I got to thinking about this. When Christ went to the cross, his thoughts were of love. He saw all of us in our worst state, and he went to the cross. Think of the foundations of our faith. That foundation is Jesus Christ. That foundation is his love for us. That foundation is him looking down and seeing a sinful man, seeing wicked men and being willing to die for them. That great love that he had for us. He could have done anything. I think what was in that song? He could have called for anything. He could have had whatever he wanted. He just came. But he was willing in love to come down and die on the cross. Past, present, and future. All the things. He saw all those things. Bill talked this morning about all the politics and everything. The only thing this world needs. He's very right. All these politics. If men's hearts are turned away from God and they don't know Christ, this world will always be a mess. It will always be a mess. If our lives are turned away from the love of Christ, our lives will be a mess. If we forget to love, all these other things are going to fall apart. We see all these little churches, you know, they go away. Why do they go away? Because love's gone. How many of you have this vision of some of these little churches, people being left, everybody's been either run out or bored because people were set in their ways, they had to have things their way. And there they are left. Or there were fights over this or fights over that, and there's a few staunch people. The church falls apart because the love goes away. We forget that the foundation is God's love for us. Was Christ going to the cross for us? Was Christ loving us despite our failures, despite our faults? Even knowing that. And it made me think. I had a discussion. Neither one of Anna, we were talking about the doctors. and some of the things Hannah was going through. And I mentioned at Children's Hospital when Noah wasn't doing I'm still mad about it, and I realized I got a problem here. One of the doctors lied to my face, and I'm still mad at that doctor. And I realized, you know what? I'm missing things. I might not like how the system is set up. I might not like how things are going. I can't be angry with people all these years. And the dumb part is I've had this issue before. I've been angry with someone and realized I need to, even though I'll never see them, I need to love that person and pray for them because that's what God did for me. And I thought, here I am again, how many years later, and I'm making the same dumb mistake. I'm missing the fact that I need to love that doctor, even though she may have had bad intentions. I don't know. And I'm still thankful it was me because I've always said I was afraid if it was it would have gone down right there. But that's not right. That's not showing God's love. And instead of being angry every time I think about it, I should pray for that person. And I've done this before. I've had these same things happen and realized, you know, this isn't what God wants. He doesn't want me to be. But that's what we become, isn't it? We look out in this world, and Bill mentioned this morning about the Trump dance, and it's not what people need. Everybody, you know, we have sports people because they have different teams. That's not what we need. That's not how we're to behave. That's not how we're called to live. It's not following in Christ's step. If we stop and look at his life, things. He didn't gloat over something, over a victim. He loved people. He had compassion. And yeah, we know he did cleanse the temple, but that was a totally different thing. But the things he did in love. He did with purpose. And I so soon forget that. And so that usually what happens is if I get to speak, just getting what God's speaking, maybe it's the same thing over and over because I was reminded of that this week. I thought, well, when am I ever going to love? Tam looking at, I like to see kind of like vigilant. If I watch a movie, but usually when they make it's judgment. And my simple, very rational mind says, all these problems can all be fixed easily. We can balance the budget. It's not hard. Why don't we can be nice to each other. At least ignore each other instead of hating each other. Why can't people, all these wicked people that do all these horrible things, why can't we just eradicate them? Then we're done with them and they're not here anymore. That's how my rational mind thinks. I don't understand why these things keep happening because life is not that hard, is it? How many of you think, maybe you don't all think that. Well, I'm very kind of hyper-rational. I just think, well, it's not that hard. You go to work, you do what you're supposed to do, you go home, you don't hurt people, you know. Life could be very simple. I think of how great this world could be if everybody just thought, I'm just not going to hurt anyone. I'm just not going to steal. It's so simple, very simple. And it makes me angry because I just want to be done with it all. You people can't think right, let's just get rid of you. But that's not how God, if God thought that way, what? We'd all be gone. But that's, and I'm guessing I'm not the only one here and just want them to be done. Just tired of it. Tired of the stupidity. You know, I go to work and I'm tired of some of the, we have people that have a list and do what you're supposed to do. Most of your problems will go away. It's simple as that. But that's not how life is it? People make poor choices. People get addicted. People have all kinds of issues. And we can't just bring judgment down. For one, we're not qualified. And two, that's not what God has called us. I mean, we stop and look at the foundation. In the end, it's love. In the end, it's mercy. We could turn to Romans chapter 13. I think how many times I read some of these things, and I don't really take them to heart. Romans 13 and verse 8. Oh, I don't know what I'm looking at, guys. I saw 13 and stopped. Romans 13 and verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Very simple statement. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If everybody stopped and did no harm to their neighbor, would we have wars? We'd have no wars. Would we have fights? We'd have no fights because everybody's caring for one another and not doing harm to them. I've been thinking, you see a lot of negative things. You hear negative things on news. The Bible says, the Bible's talking about, the Bible says slavery's okay and so hateful and all. And I'm thinking, have you ever read it? The whole message of the scripture is God's love for man, God's mercy and grace towards, and I think maybe people don't see it because the people to be Christians, people that claim to go walk according to the scripture, we forget about these verses. We have our our little things we like to do, and we want to do all these things. We want to get everything right, but we forget to love. We forget to love. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We can go on to Romans 12. We'll go back a little bit. Romans 12, and we'll start in verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, or giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thinking about this in our times right now, and Bill mentioned post-election thing. Was this our attitude, or shouldn't we be loving those people? Should we be out there doing a dance, rubbing it in? There's a lot of people that are upset and hurt and scared. What should our attitude be towards them? My attitude, I'll be honest, sometimes it's to laugh at how ridiculous. But I'm reminded, if I look in the scriptures, that I'm supposed to love those people. Should be no room for gloating. Should be no room for hating. These are the lost people, yet my attitude's not right. I think, oh, this is so ridiculous. They're getting what they deserve, and some of them are going to pay because all the rotten things they said about me. And you know what? I'm still frustrated about the whole vaccine thing. A lot of people want from society. I shouldn't want vengeance. I should want them to come. But my own wicked heart, when I'm assaulted, when people don't like me, when they say bad things about me, when they call me this or call me that, I want to fight. That's what I want to do. Now, not everybody's like that. But if you start something with me, I want to fight. That's just who I am. When you're a short little guy working in a factory, you can't really back down all the time. It's the way it is. If you back down all the time, you'll never get. But so, you know, my heels hit the line in the sand, and I'm not going any farther. And sometimes we do have to take stands. And obviously there's sin in the church we have to deal with. At the same time, our first response, the scripture says, our first response to all these people out there that hated us, call us names, and want Christians done away with, what should our response should be? To pray for them. It should be to love them. As much as I don't want to say this, that's just the truth of God's word. And the reality is, that's how God loved me. The guy that screamed out and yelled that I hated God, he still loved me and still had mercy. I have a feeling that I've, but be assured that every time I get ready for a message, if this seems like a repeat, it could be. But I don't remember. Like I said, I start with a clean sheet. But I think we need to constantly be reminded of this, because this world is so angry. The world is hateful. The world wants vengeance. All those people in the Middle East, and we look at it and think it's crazy how much they hate it. They want to destroy and wipe each other out. Because even here, really, we don't really want to wipe each other out most of the time. We just want to be left alone. We just want to be left to do our thing. But some of these people, they want whole races wiped out. You know, I've been studying World War I and World War II, and you realize that there were people that wanted a whole race wiped out. There was that much hate in their hearts. They wanted out. And we know where that comes from, because they wanted the Jews wiped out. They wanted God's people wiped out. But where are we in this? Whether it be in the church or out in the world. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And down there it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For so in doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but we need to be merciful. And if those people don't receive it, The Lord's going to take care of that in the end.
We can't be responsible if they need to be the ones that are there to love them and show them the love of Christ, that they have that opportunity. If they don't, well, it's very sad, but we can't.
You can turn to Matthew 9. We see the character of Christ. Matthew 9 and 9.
As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
How often are we, Christ's ministry on earth, he showed mercy, showed compassion. It's not about all the do's and don'ts. It's not about all the little things. It's about showing God's love to man.
I had a dream, I think it was last, I'm not really sure, it popped into my head this morning, and I'd come in here this morning, I was getting ready to come up here and speak, and I was kind of terrified by the fact that I came. But I thought, you know what? So what? I mean, I think in general, if you're going to come up here and speak reasonably well, at the same time, it made me think, is there anyone out here, or would I be upset if someone walked up here? Would that throw us off? Would we listen? Or would we be so worried about what they're wearing that we wouldn't hear? Obviously, I did. But how would we react? Because is there a mandate in Scripture? You can build your principles, but when we look in the Scripture, God's not concerned about the outward appearance. Time and time again. So stop and think. Would that throw you off enough that you didn't listen to the truth of God's Word? Would that throw me off enough? What's important? You know I'm not going to... But would it throw us... Does it matter? Does it really matter? Is that what's important? Or is it important... What's important is the truth of God's Word is preached, and that we love one another, the lost. Those are important things. Those are the foundations of our... All those other things come. All those other things come. Jesus wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned about those little... He came to die for our sins. He was worried about that. You know, Bill's worried about all these lost people that he got to talk to. Those are the important... Those are really the... And that's a neat testimony just to know that that opportunity, you don't realize what we have until it's... And you also don't realize how big... But that's what it's about. Matthew 12... And starting in verse 1, similar scenario here, Matthew 12 and 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the heads of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you, in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And again, the same quote, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned." That's God's desire. I desire mercy. I want your heart. All these other things, they're not that important. You turn to Romans 15. Romans 15, and we'll start again in verse 1. "We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." The last verse there, "Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And I stopped and thought about that. How did Christ, he received me just the way I was, didn't he? He didn't receive glorified state. He received me. He looked down and had mercy. And when I believed,
when we deal with other people, other brothers and sisters, talking about here, how do we receive them? We receive them as they are. And all their failures and all their struggles and all their bad tempers, grumpiness. But we need to remember that. Christ received us as who we were. And we need to receive others as who they are. We're not always going to be the same. You know what I've noticed is, I don't really fear a long time, but I keep realizing, I'm not the only guy. And I'm kind of... But we need to receive each other. We can get upset with each other because we're not like each other. Somebody has a completely different personality than we do. It's hard to get along sometimes. I worked with a guy, and he was just way, way too calm. Nothing ever bothered him. Never got upset or excited about anything. I really could, because it was like, I don't think I've ever seen this level of, I don't know if it was not caring or what, but I'm kind of wound tight. I get excited about things. I think sometimes you got to get excited about things. You got to be upset about some things that are wrong. This guy, I don't think he ever, it was hard to deal with him. It was hard to take because it was so different. And I haven't seen him. I don't have no idea where he is. I mean, we got along okay, I guess. It was very difficult because he was so different. But we have to overcome those things. We have to overcome all our differences, our personalities, and love one another. And I've just been reminded this week of how wrong I am and how far off I'm getting, I think, of my faith. I think it's supposed to be love. It's supposed to be to love these people that I'm angry with. It's supposed to be to love these people that called me names in society. That's what the Lord Jesus, he loved those, he loved rejects, didn't he? He loved some of these people. Matter of fact, he loved all of them enough to die for them. And it talks about here about pleasing our neighbor. And the other thought I had is, how far am I willing to go for other people? How far am I willing to, Bill and Scott are willing to go? But how far are we willing to go? You know what I don't do? I don't like to be, I'll suffer almost. And I thought, shouldn't that be my attitude towards others? Shouldn't I be willing to suffer, please our neighbors? I remember one time I'd pop something in my arm at work, and it hurt. Every time I'd move it a certain way, this is back when the kids were little, and I didn't get made, and I was going fishing, regardless. Every time I cast, it hurt. Every time I set the hook, it hurt. It just hurt, and it almost bring me to tears. But I did it anyway, because I like to fish. And this was my chance to go, and I wasn't going to get in there for who knows how long. And I went, and we had some wrestlers in here. You guys endure a lot of things. Miserable to win a wrestling match or to help out a brother. So I got to be honest, I'm not. But that's the challenge, willing to suffer. Some of you guys that hunt, that sit up in the free for hours on end, you suffer because you like it. I don't know why you like sitting up, but you know what? I kind of get it. But you suffer because, and if we loved others, we'd be willing to suffer, wouldn't we? If I loved other people as much as I like fishing, that's one of the challenges we have to face and the realities we have to face. One of the realities I have to face is, you know what? I probably like fishing. That's just, I hate to admit it, but thinking about these things, what if I was willing to grow as Christians? Or Galatians 5, and it'll be starting in verse 13. Galatians 5 and 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be... But again, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor. And haven't we already seen that? The law being fulfilled. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty sure I don't love anybody. It's reality. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes we don't want to admit those things, but you know what? I want to be comfortable. And the older I get, the more comfortable I want to be. The less I want to deal with anybody else out there. But that's not what the Scripture calls us to do. And I kind of have a love-hate thing. It's a lot of work. I enjoy doing it. Every time I know I'm just going to be, you're in the Word. You're confronted with all the things you're bad at. But you also know that there's at least one or two other people in this room that have the same exact struggle. A lot of people might have similar. And the Lord brings messages for us for a reason, for ourselves and for others. And we have to face these things. We love our neighbor. Ephesians 4, kind of going in order now for a little while. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity in the Spirit of the bond of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think we need to remember as a church and individually, it's very important to keep, very important to love one another. The little churches like this that are still alive, to go away, there's just not much left, is there? There's not many churches that still, but if we start to go away, there's less and less out there, less a light, and just be worried about all our differences and be worried about to love one another and to reach. Remember that the foundation is Ephesians 4:30, just skipping down a little bit. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And I was reminded again last week, you know, I got bitterness in my heart over something that happened 10 or 12 years ago. Something that was wrong, but that bitterness only hurts me. It hurts my walk with God, which ultimately, the church. I'm not who I'm supposed to be. If I'm bitter and angry about something, I'm not in the Word like I'm supposed to. Sisters, all those things, if we let that fester and grow, it hurts everybody. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed but incorruptible through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." And this happens at least twice here. We'll get to the next verse, but it says, "Brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Not just love one another, but love one another fervently. If we skip on to 1 Peter 4:8, just over a couple chapters. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude." And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude. And again, sometimes sin has to be dealt with in the church, but it's always done with love. It's done with the goal of restoration. And above all things, have not just love, but fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude. And I guess I got to say that's one of my goals as we slide into it, is just to love others. And not just love them, but love them. I don't do a very good job of praying for people, pretty good job of worrying about them. But I got to be honest, I don't do a very good job of loving people. The guy nature, not the most loving person. But I got to get better. We all have to get better. It says love fervently. Not just love, but love. The body of belief. 1 John 3:23. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us command." And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. It's not just a request. It's to love one another. 1 John 4:10. "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." If He so loved us, we ought to love one another. And going back to that, Christ received us, receive others is who they are. And knowing that the potential is there that they can be. God loved us, we also ought to love one another. He looked beyond all those faults and still loved us. And I don't know, can anyone guess what I'm on? No guesses? 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. 1 Corinthians 13:4. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. All those things, maybe you should consider those things as we go through this world, as we deal with people with different opinions, different political views, different sports teams, views on all kinds of things. We need to remember God loved us, and He's changed us and molded us, caused us to. And that's the same attitude we expect too much. Sometimes I expect too much. I expect, look at this. This is how it's supposed to be. But yet, where am I? I look at it, and I don't get it either. I'm still mad at some doctor, even though I knew I shouldn't be. So we need to remember, one, that much of a failure is the next person. we're just as weak. And two, that even if we're doing better, it doesn't. God loves that person, and He wants them to go alongside, to care, to prefer others above ourselves. So I guess that's the goal. I mean, you guys can call me out on it because I know I don't do a good job, but we need to understand the foundations of our faith are Jesus Christ. Pleasant prayer first.
Our God, we are thankful for Your goodness. We are thankful for the great love that You have towards us, and pray that we would always remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were unlovable, You loved us. And as we look in this lost world and we see all the things that are wrong, we see all the things that seem so ridiculous that could be easily fixed, and we see all the people that hate us for no reason, that we are supposed to be like Christ. We are supposed to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior. We are supposed to love the lost. And we are supposed to love the brethren. Just pray that we would keep, or we just pray that we would always remember that our sin is horrible. We were in opposition to You, and You looked down and showed mercy. You looked down and poured forth Your grace on mankind, and You offered Your Son as a sacrifice for sin. And He willingly and obediently went to that cross and gave His life that we might have life, that we might be free from sin, free from all the things of this world, and we might have an eternity in heaven. That we would love like the Lord Jesus, would day by day do a better job and care more for others, Lord. We know that one day we're not going to change. You would just draw us to Your word, that we might be reminded that we have a desire and the goal to love others as You loved us. We just pray Your blessing, Lord, as we go out today. These words would not fall on deaf ears, but that we would take them to heart and that we would grow. I ask it in Christ's name.